following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
At Advance Auto Parts, we like to win. Who doesn't? Losers, that's who. Everyone wins by saving when they come to Advance. But now, one lucky son of a mama will also win a 2013 Dodge Challenger valued at 56 grand in the Pennzoil Dream Machine giveaway. You can't win if you don't enter, so come to Advance today. You got nothing to lose.
Advance Auto Parts.
No purchase necessary for sweepstakes, void where prohibited. Visit Pennzoil.com/challenger for program rules and to enter.
It's a whole new Februenni at Subway, our biggest footlong event of the year, and you can get any footlong for a song. Many regular footlongs are $5 footlongs, and we've got amazing $6 footlong specials too. Enjoy favorites like the turkey breast as $5 footlongs, and hearty subs like the steak and cheese as $6 footlong specials.
At Subway.
Prices and participation may vary. Plus tax will applicable. Exclude Supreme subs. Additional charge for extras. Prices higher.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insights from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who'll be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Friday. I went Paul Harvey on you there a little bit. Randy Bushka along with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Glad you could join us on a Friday as we're getting all set and ready to take a look at the semifinals of Girl State Basketball. We have a couple of area teams that are still alive and kicking, a couple area teams that fell yesterday, and congratulations to Minot on an outstanding season, but again, falling to Pierce last night in a game heard on our sister station, Classic Hits 98.9, and at the same time, it was Giltner losing to Why Not. Both of those two games were a little bit lopsided, but we still have skin in the game. Kearney Catholic will be playing at 2 o'clock this afternoon on our sister station on Classic Hits 98.9 FM. Kearney Catholic and Wahoo tonight at 2 o'clock. Certainly the Kearney Catholic boys hope that they play Wahoo next week as well, because the only way that would happen would be in the finals. But Kearney Catholic one game away for playing for a state championship as they won yesterday 39-31. Hopefully we'll be able to talk with maybe Doug Duda a little bit about that game. A really kind of a tough, kind of ugly offensive game. In terms of neither team really shot the ball very well. It probably played at a pace that favored Norfolk Catholic, but the Stars do win it 39-31. Congratulations to them. And St. Cecilia tomorrow at 9 o'clock will play for the state championship. They won by 10 today over Hershey, getting past the Panthers, a final of 52-42. That game was heard on the Breeze, 94.5. The championship game will also be on the Breeze tomorrow. And don't forget that all six state championship games will be right here on the ESPN Superstation, 1460 in Kearney, 1550 in Hastings, as we will have all six state championship games for you. And obviously, we will simulcast the Hastings-St. Cecilia Class C2 championship game on the Breeze, 94.5, tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Congratulations to St. Cecilia. I don't think too many people are overly surprised that St. Cecilia is in the final. They are going to have a tough road to hoe, though, because Crofton, people are saying, is absolutely the real deal. Some people think that they're one of the top 10 teams in the state, regardless of class, so they'll have a pretty good task in front of them. Crofton and Homer, they're playing right now. They tipped off about 20 minutes ago. I'll see if I can find a first quarter score for you here in just a little bit, but Crofton would be decidedly the favorite in that one. one, but they only lead by 3 at the end of one quarter. They lead it 10-7 over Homer after one quarter at the Girls State Basketball Tournament in Lincoln. So, you know, maybe Homer can pull off the upset, and that would be a pretty good-sized upset as Crofton, undefeated on the year, definitely the decided favorite in Class C, too. And, in fact, of all 6 state classes, probably they were the strongest favorite from all of our analysts that we talked to in their respective class in terms of coming away with the title. And again, I think Lincoln Southeast is an awfully, awfully solid basketball team in Class A. They're going to play for the state title as well. They won earlier today, 67-48, getting past Millard West in one of the semifinals. Let's get you all updated exactly what has happened so far today at the Girls State Basketball Tournament. Just 2 games, their finals. St. Cecilia with that 10-point win over Hershey, 52-42. So they're in the Class C2 state championship. Crofton and Homer playing right now, and as we mentioned to you, Crofton with a 3-point advantage at the end of one quarter. And in Class A, we'll get that Class A first quarter score for you here in just a second as well. But Southeast with a 67-48 win over Millard West. And they'll take on the winner of Bellevue West and Omaha Central. And I have to put my glasses on to probably actually see the screen from here in Class A. I don't think they've actually had that updated score coming up yet on the Twitter feed. It is West is leading Central. Wow, what an offensive game. 19-14 at the end of one quarter. So Bellevue West with a 19-14 lead over Omaha Central in Class A. Right now, today, of course, they're playing at the Devaney Center. They're also playing at the Pershing Center. Those are the only 2 venues in use today. And, of course, tomorrow there'll be those consolation games around the city of Lincoln at the various high schools. But the championships, all 6 of them, will be at the Devaney Center. And, again, all 6 state championships right here on ESPN 1460 and 1550 as Kearney Catholic. That's going to be a great game at 2:00 against Wahoo. Wahoo at 16-9 on the year, play a pretty tough schedule. I don't think that's a terrible draw at all for Kearney Catholic. I like the Stars' chances in the semifinals, and if they go up against either Shadron or Pierce, people don't know a whole lot about Shadron playing out west. Don't have a lot of comparable scores and games that you can kind of compare to see exactly how good Shadron is. So they're somewhat of an unknown entity as the number one seed. And I'll tell you what, the Stars would love to have another go at Pierce and avenge one of the 2 losses that Kearney Catholic's had on the year. But it's one of those things, you got to be careful what you wish for because you just might get it. And Pierce proved last night that they were a very solid defensive team that really kept Minden from getting things going offensively, as it was Pierce winning it last night 59-36. So a tough matchup there for Minden last night. Just kind of that size difference really kind of hurt Minden, because they didn't get very many good looks at threes because they always had somebody tall in front of them and had a hand in their face, and they were just good enough defensively. And Minden turned the ball over too many times in that first half. There was a stretch there in the second quarter. They were right back into the ball game. It was a 1-point ball game because of a shot by Kissinger that made a 1-point ball game to start the second quarter. And then 18 straight points scored by Pierce. So a 1-point lead for Pierce turned into 19 points. And then a last-second bucket by Minden at the end of the quarter, but 18 points in the middle. Minden scored early in the quarter, late in the quarter, and the entire about 7.5 minutes in between there, Pierce dominated, and they built a 19-point lead by halftime. And after that, it was all she wrote for Minden. But outstanding year for the Minden Whippets, and a tough way to end. It's always tough to lose that game at the state basketball tournament in Lincoln. Randy Bushcutter and Jim Langan with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jim, how you doing?
Real good.
Well, good to see you, man.
Hey, I was looking at the Holdridge game yesterday when they got beat. Did you talk about that one at all?
I have not talked about Holdridge yet at all, no.
Yeah, well, Holdridge had a shot to win that and got beaten overtime by Seward. You know, that whole conference is down there in that one bracket.
Yeah.
You know, Seward plays Northwest, and they had 3 teams, just like the Luplat boys, having 3 teams in the state tournament and one field, and the same thing with that Central 10. So
yeah, they had that shot, and they know each other so well. I mean, those – I always like at State when you play somebody different. You know, I mean, you've seen these guys, but one of the advantages is you really see some, you know how to attack each other. You know, if you're into thinking basketball and understanding strategy, you have a couple of teams that understand each other. It's just kind of fun to watch them kind of move those chess pieces when you play somebody familiar, like again, Holdridge, kind of knowing a lot about those other teams down there, and they're just coming up just a little bit short.
You know, another team not in the area, but Lincoln Southeast girls looked really good early in the season. Last year, you lost a heartbreaker there in the state tournament, and they look like they got, you know, they're in the finals right now, and they were very impressive with their win today.
Well, and they have a Division I player as a freshman, you know, already signed to play for Kaneohe at Nebraska, and they have that strong presence on the inside. They have top-notch guards on the outside. I think Southeast in Class A is the toughest team out there, even though they're coming in as the 3 seed. I really think they're probably the best team, in my opinion anyway, of the teams that I've seen from following Kearney High throughout the course of the year. Saw them play Southeast, and I was really impressed with Southeast.
Yeah, I'm like you said, just Southeast looks really impressive. You know, and with their win today, you know, beating Millard West, is, you know, they won 67-48, if I see that right.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, I mean, that's pretty impressive. So.
Yeah, and that's against one of the better teams in the state, certainly. So hopefully we'll have a conversation with Doug Duda. He can kind of set the stage for us a little bit in the C1 semifinal between Kearney Catholic and Wahoo. We'll try to talk to him here in a little bit. And congratulations, as we mentioned, to St. Cecilia, winning by 10, and they'll take on either Homer or Crofton, and I'm kind of a little surprised. Everybody's talking so much about Crofton. Homer's playing right with them. It's a 3-point game heading into the second quarter, and I've never seen either one of those two teams play, you know, and I should probably look it up. I would think Crofton and Homer, they're close enough together. They may very well have played throughout the course of the year. Yeah, I would think
could,
they had.
Yeah, we could look that up. I have no idea either. I mean, I'm just going with Crofton. Of course, they're 24-0,
yeah.
So you know if they
Well,
played,
I know we know who won.
Yeah.
If they played, we do know who won. I got to think that they ran into each other somewhere out there. I don't think they're in the same conference, but I think they probably would have run into each other.
You know, sometimes the location where you play at, you know, is in the same area, and you compete with those same people, you just get better all the time. So I wouldn't be surprised, though, if St. Cecilia, you know, with the schedule and the people they play, the girls' basketball in this area is very tough.
Yeah, and they play in a very tough conference. And Homer and Crofton did play. They played in the district final, and Crofton obviously won that one comfortably 76-50. So this rematch at State is being played a whole lot tighter than what that is. But there's still plenty of time for Crofton to kind of rise to the top if that is what's going to happen in that game. Well, we're coming to you from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, and just a reminder for you to head down to South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, and check them out at thinkmidway.com. At Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, they have 13 Chrysler 200s starting under $19,000, 6 Dodge Durangos, they got about $5,700 off of those, 16 Dodge Journeys, $3,800 off, 4 Jeep Wranglers, hey, it's not that far away, that Jeep Wrangler, and then drive around the outside in the summer, they'd be a pretty good time. They got about $2,900 off of those, and they have 56 Rams starting under $23,000. So if you need a new pickup, they can certainly get you all set up at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. And don't forget, at Midway Chrysler Buick Cadillac, they have a tremendous selection of Chevrolet Silverados if you're in the market for a truck, and 11 Chevrolet Sonics starting under $17,000. That's a pretty good vehicle for a pretty good price there. South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, Midway, a better way. Find them at thinkmidway.com. We're going to return to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth right after this timeout.
Come on in, let the games begin.
NFL coaches call the plays right to the quarterback's helmet, just as a great sports bar like HK Sports Bar and Grill sends you the signals right to your smartphone when you text HKVIP to 90210. Hi, this is Jeremy, the new general manager at HK Sports Bar and Grill of Hastings. We're adding more feature items and bonus alerts every week, so text HKVIP to 90210. I guarantee you'll score a deal as an HKVIP. Text HKVIP to 90210 and let the games begin.
Don't miss the action on AuctionTime.com, where every Wednesday is auction day. AuctionTime.com features farm and construction equipment, trucks, trailers, and parts auctions ending every Wednesday. To bid on a machine, register for free on the AuctionTime.com website or from anywhere using an iPhone or an Android with the free AuctionTime.com apps. AuctionTime charges no buyer's fees and has no hidden reserves. Save time and money for your operation and visit AuctionTime.com today.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't just sell parts. Oh, no. We get you the part you need. Lickety-split. Our knowledgeable team members will do the legwork, arm work, or torso work, whatever it takes, to make sure you don't just get a part, you get the right part. Fast. Plus, now, get up to $30 back by mail when you buy Wagner Thermo Quiet Brake Pads. Service is our best part at Advance Auto Parts. See store for details, mail-in rebate.
The Breeze whips into a storm tonight and tomorrow night.
All games are crucial, looking to get 2 points from each opponent. They're going to need good play in all three zones, and they're going to have to keep their forechecking at a maximum here against these tough teams who they haven't seen many times, especially Indiana and Youngstown in the Eastern Conference.
Jared Schaffrin has the pregame at 6:45 on The Breeze, 94.5 FM.
When it comes to Sunday, after I do all my honey-dos, of course, I head to Cunningham's Journal. Why, thinks I go to my buddy's house, but sometimes whatever you don't know won't hurt. Cunningham's is the best place to watch all your favorite sports. Wi-Fi internet to keep updated on all your fancy players, juicy burgers, and the coldest draft here in town. Anyways, I was face-deep in my Juicy Lucy until my wife walks into the door. Guess the truth does hurt. Escape ordinary at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
A mixture of clouds and sun throughout today with north winds 5 to 10. Highs will reach into the middle 30s. And then we'll have increasing clouds throughout tonight with a light south breeze, lows in the upper teens. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro. Right now, it's 27.
Not a bad little reminder that Three Doors Down in Daughtry tonight at the Bureau of Events are not a bad little reminder at all. Randy Bushcutter, Jim Lanyon, back with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And time now to take a look at a little recruiting update. This T&L Husker recruiting update brought to you by T&L Irrigation Systems. T&L center pivot owners have come to expect quality and dependability with every T&L irrigation system, and why not? To assure many more years of reliable irrigation, schedule your annual preventative maintenance program today. They'll perform basic maintenance in the off-season, and that pays you back when the summer heat arrives. Call your independent T&L dealer to thoroughly inspect your machine from pivot point to the overhang. T&L irrigation systems are easier on you and easier for a lifetime. And again, you get it checked out now. You don't have to worry about it when you really need it, when the heat rolls around. And Nebraska right now is looking at another running back out of the state of California. We got some of the best running backs in California, the best running back out of Texas, but they're still looking at Demario Richard from Palmdale, California. He's 5'10", 200 pounds, been a workhorse for Palmdale's high school there, and he's had verbal offers from Arizona, Arizona State, Oregon, UCLA, and now Nebraska. And he is on the verge of really kind of blowing up on the national scene. Ron Brown is actually doing the recruiting there for Nebraska. And again, a 5'10", 200-pound pounder would be another great get for Nebraska. And again, he could play not really that I position. We don't really have an I back anymore, but he could play fullback, and they say he's got the speed also that he'd be able to be a pretty good asset with the guy running the ball, not just doing the blocking. And also, wide receiver. We'll also be looking at from Charlotte Christian High School. Bo Hines has a couple of new offers as well as increased interest from several other college programs. He's 6'1", 190 pounds, has acquired lower-level offers from likes of Ball State, Massachusetts, Charlotte, East Carolina. But now North Carolina State and Nebraska have also got into the fray, so we're competing with NC State and Ball State, Massachusetts, and Charlotte. So he might be a little bit under the radar. There's about 100% chance that he'll be out there, and he actually says he doesn't know what the date is, but he'll try to get out to Lincoln for the spring game. So his recruiting visit may very well be for the spring game, and that is such a great recruiting tool. You come in and you watch a full stadium for a spring game. That certainly will turn anybody's heads. So that'd be a nice get for Nebraska as well, even though not a lot of people are going after him. They talk about he's caught passes for almost 800 yards in his junior year and 7 touchdowns out there in North Carolina, one of the premier programs in the state.
Yeah, I doubt if Massachusetts spring game is going to be sold out. What
no,
do you think?
No. And even if they did sell it out, even if it's sold out, they wouldn't have as many as going to be at Nebraska spring game. And in men's basketball, forward Torrey Miller announced via Twitter, and that's how everything gets announced anymore, that he's cutting his list of potential schools down to 4. Nebraska is on that list. He is a 3-star junior prospect from New Hampton, New Hampshire. And he says that the Huskers, Colorado State, Marquette, and Penn State were his remaining schools, but has followed up with another tweet saying that only an unofficial list. Either way, Nebraska is still in prime contention for the talented 6'8", 247-pound native of Lee's Summit, Missouri. 6'8", 247 pounds. And we've got some size, but it's mostly in the area of girth for some of our post players at Nebraska. So that would be a good get as well. So there is our TNL Husker recruiting update.
You know, it's kind of interesting. It seems to me some of these guys got way too many schools to pick from right now. You know, they might want to get it down a little further. Could you imagine doing that to your prom dates? You know, you got, you know, I got it down to these 11, you know, and there's only 14 girls in your class. I mean, you know, and you got to get it down a little further than that, but I guess it's early.
And you might know this from being a principal, the process of asking a girl out for prom anymore. I mean, I think they have to have a flyover and you have to have a singing chorus and you have to train your dog to bring her a ring. And I don't know, it's pretty extravagant anymore.
Maybe that was my problem. Yeah, maybe that's why I could never get a prom day. Yeah.
Back in the day, you just asked your girlfriend and you were pretty much done. This Husker recruiting update was brought to you by TNL Irrigation Systems, proven technology that's easier on you and easier for a lifetime. And we add a little bit of Nebraska basketball in there. We're going to talk with some folks from the show, the program on BTN that takes a look at Nebraska basketball and the rest of the conference. The Journey, we'll talk with Bill Friedman from The Journey on BTN. He had some opportunities kind of follow around Nebraska head basketball coach Tim Miles, and we'll get his take on what he thinks about the Nebraska program, the conference in general, and where the Big Ten kind of fits in the national scene for basketball, and ask a lot of specific questions about Coach Miles. We'll have that for you at around 11:45 this morning, as we'll be turning our attention to that. And also we'll talk with Steve Spongberg, the head boys basketball coach at Sutton, here in just a little bit, as the Mustangs getting ready to take on Crofton in the boys' state basketball tournament. That'll be next Thursday. And, of course, hopefully we'll talk with Doug as well, talk about some high school girls basketball today as well. Are you heading down to Lincoln next week?
No, I'm going to be on the show here on Friday. I'm planning on it. Penn State, you know, when they beat Michigan this week, you know, when big, you're talking about Big Ten, you know, they're 0-14.
I was floored when I heard that. Yeah. I'm like, that's got to be a misprint, because I was at a different basketball game and just kind of watching the game, and I saw that score and I'm like, going, that can't be right. And sure enough, it was.
You know, I'll tell you what, though, a home floor advantage, and in the Big Ten, there's a lot of offensive skills to stop in NCAA basketball, you know, and I think, you know, that's why there's some upsets that they occur. You know, there's so many offensive skills out there that you're going to, in the NBA, I mean, you'll have people that will step up too. You know, in the girls' high school basketball tournament, there seems to be some upsets, and it used to never be that way. You know what I mean? It used to be that it was pretty solid. The best teams won all the time and kind of won fairly easy. But, you know, right now we're seeing some scores that are a lot closer.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's take a look at our poll question for the day. Yesterday's question was, who got the better end of the Alex Smith trade? Was it the Niners? Was it the Chiefs with the draft choices? Or was it pretty much an even trade? How say you, Jim Langan?
Well, I'm just excited the Chiefs got a quarterback, you know. So I'm not for sure what the trade, but I do know Kansas City needed a quarterback. They needed to find some way to score. They couldn't score last year. You know, they were really struggling scoring. So they needed to make a big move, and a quarterback is, you know, the first move.
Well, I think a lot of people are thinking pretty much the same way you were. It's pretty even. 31% said fair trade, 31% said Chiefs, and about 38% said the 49ers got the better end of that deal. Today's poll question is, which group of schools do you associate more with the Big East name? Are they the Catholic Seven, you know, Georgetown, Providence, Seton Hall, and the like, or the ones that play football, UConn, Cincinnati, and those football-playing schools? Which one do you associate more with the Big East name? The Big East name is going to be hanging out with the Catholic Seven, and by the way, no opinion officially made by the folks at Creighton whether or not they're going to join the conference as well. When you think Big East, are you thinking the Catholic basketball schools, or do you think the football playing schools like UConn, Cincinnati, and those?
Well, there's no doubt. You think of the basketball, the Big East. Tell me when they won an NCAA football championship.
Yeah.
You know, this is a baseball championship. This is a basketball conference. And not only that, they are so good, they can take their ninth or eighth seed and win the whole NCAA tournament with it. Yeah. And hardly anybody else can do that.
Yeah.
You know, so that thing is big time basketball. And, you know, football. I mean, yeah, it's exciting if you got $11 riding on somebody.
Yeah, and to me, Syracuse was always the top because they were, and it wasn't because of football though. I mean, because that was kind of the program. They had probably the most consistent run. Georgetown for a while would have been my answer to that, but it's kind of evolved into that. And we have another call in. And Doug, how you doing? How are things in Lincoln? You all ready for another good day of basketball?
Yeah, let's get after it, man. Let's do it.
Yeah, time to roll. Let's talk about the two games last night. First of all, let's talk about Minden. Was Pierce just that good, or was it just a cold shooting night for the Whippets?
Pierce was that good. Minden didn't play their best basketball, but Pierce was that good. We saw Pierce play Kearney Catholic earlier this year in Kearney, and Pierce beat Kearney Catholic, and Pierce was better last night. Better than that game. C1's kind of struggled all day, but the only two teams that didn't struggle were Shadron and Pierce. They both played really well as far as shooting the ball. The effort was there, but from Minden, the ball wasn't going in. They shot 25%, and Pierce's height just negated anything they wanted to do on the drive.
Talk a little bit about Kearney Catholic. I mean, 39 points. That's their season low on the year. Still found a way to win it. They finished the game on a 10-0 run. Which do you kind of come out of there with it, that Kearney Catholic was tough down the stretch and scored 10 to finish the game, or the fact that they obviously struggled pretty much offensively? How do you kind of walk away from that game?
Well, here's what we've all decided. Kearney Catholic, Norfolk Catholic, they were all confused because it was the first day without Pope.
Doug, only you would say that. Only
so they
you would
know
say
what
that.
To do.
And today, no meat. So, boy, the confusion's going to continue.
Well, we'll see what happens today.
It didn't seem to bother St. Cecilia, did it, Doug?
Well, they had their struggles, too, but I guess the only thing you can take out of it is if you can shoot 20% and win, just take it and move on. You know, and that's what Kearney Catholic did. They shot 20%, and the effort was there. The ball didn't go in. They kind of let them bang around each other on the inside, and that happened on both teams. And Michaela Mestel hit some free throws, and I think that was the difference in the game.
Did you get a chance to see Wahoo play at all? Can you kind of?
Yeah, we watched that game. Fillmore Central, I think the difference was Wahoo had been there, Fillmore Central hadn't, and I think you could kind of tell. The sometimes that nerves comes into play, and that seemed to be the difference in that game.
So do you like Kearney Catholic's chances today after watching Wahoo, more or less before or after watching them?
Oh, yeah. We discussed this yesterday, too, and Randy, you guys, Jimmy, you guys have been there long enough. You watch a Thursday game and you see somebody just stink it up and you go, I'm not even paying attention to these guys. And the next thing you know, they're raising the trophy on Saturday. We've seen it many times. Survive Thursday and then you're down to the final four, all four should be capable of winning the tournament. And I think that's the case. I would be surprised if Wahoo won it all tomorrow, but I think any of the other three are more than capable of winning: Shadron, Kearney Catholic, Pierce.
You know, Doug, one thing that was real interesting to me is I thought maybe Sandy Creek would beat Fillmore Central, you know, and by them not winning, you know, Minden gets the first wild card, Pierce gets the second wild card, or Pierce wouldn't even be in this tournament, you know, right now. So that was a huge game for all eight schools involved in the state tournament.
Yeah, you like to see the teams that are kind of supposed to be there, and Fort Calhoun could have been there. There was a couple of other teams that could have been there. Pierce probably should have won their way in, and Norfolk Catholic clipped them by two, and Norfolk Catholic loses to Kearney Catholic yesterday, and I think that Norfolk Catholic, there's a team that we're going to see back. And Pierce, you know what, hadn't been there since 1995, so none of these girls had state tournament experience, and it didn't bother them in the least yesterday.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to your call this afternoon about 1:45 as Kearney Catholic and Wahoo. And I kind of mentioned it before, the boys kind of hope that they have a Wahoo Kearney Catholic matchup next week, because there's only one way that could happen. That would be on a Saturday.
Well, no. Don't forget, there's two ways.
There's
two ways.
I keep forgetting about that.
The other way.
I'm in denial about that whole consolation thing. I'm in denial that we're still doing that. I'm trying to expunge that from my memory.
It's a little rough. We don't like third place games yet.
No, we haven't quite learned to appreciate those yet. Hey, Doug.
Jimmy, the officiating is solid, baby. It's solid.
Hey, good deal. I hope Tim O'Day's crew's doing a good job down there.
Haven't seen them yet, but, you know, saw Mr. Shaw and Mr. Wood do a game yesterday. Saw some of the boys from up north do a game yesterday. Some of the boys, we used to have Rosno and Coyle's crew, and they did the Minden game last night, and so seeing some of the local boys down here doing their job.
Yeah, I'm sure they're making a lot of friends down there. O'Day's crew had that Seward and Holdridge game, and, you know, O'Day had that Holdridge Northwest game just the week before. So, yeah, I'm sure that he's definitely was welcome in Holdridge last week and maybe not this week.
Well, you always hear interesting comments from the stands when you're down on the floor broadcasting the game.
None of which we can repeat.
I'm sure the some of them you can, but you just chuckle. It's a whole different thing when you're from the town and you're sitting in the stands and you're rooting for your team. And it's a whole different thing when you're down on the floor and have no affiliation to either town and listen to the things that come out of the stands. So,
hey, Doug,
take their beating sometimes.
Hey, Doug, at least there's some administrators trying to help out a little bit, but at the Danger game, I didn't notice any administrators in the crowd helping out.
Hey, I got one question for you, Jimmy, and I don't know if you know this. There was some discussion behind the scenes yesterday about the Sportsmanship Award and how it's given out and how it's put together. Do the officials have anything to do with that?
None at all. Absolutely none at all. It's there's one man that sits there and he scores everybody, and the coach is how they act, how the players act, and how your patrons act. That's the main three criteria how things are done. And, you know, I think they're looking at see how you handle losing, you know. So if you actually win it's really hard to get the Sportsmanship Award unless everybody else has messed up all week.
That's true. And there's been so many. The first couple of years they gave that out, it seemed like the runner-up always got the Sportsmanship Award.
You know, at SEM, we'd go down there and we didn't play real well, but we didn't always handle it real well. But I know one time we got 7th out of 8th, and I was really proud of that. We beat one school. They must have been really bad.
All right, buddy. Well, we'll talk about it when I get back.
All right. Thanks, Doug. Don't forget, Doug has the call of Wahoo and Kearney Catholic, 1:45 or so this afternoon on Classic Hits 98.9 FM. Time for us to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be able to talk with Steve Spongberg, the head boys basketball coach at Sutton. We might even talk a little baseball. Who knows? We'll do that when we get back right after this.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't just sell parts. Oh, no. We get you the part you need. Lickety-split. Our knowledgeable team members will do the legwork, arm work, or torso work, whatever it takes, to make sure you don't just get a part, you get the right part. Fast. Plus, now, get up to $30 back by mail when you buy Wagner Thermo Quiet Brake Pads. Service is our best part at Advance Auto Parts. See store for details. Mail-in rebate. Void where prohibited.
Dockers and Coles present Survival Tips with Bear Grylls.
Whatever wild you find yourself in, the right clothes will help you survive. Whether it's a desperate search for food or the equally important need to make sure any first impression is a good one. Surviving a sub-zero mountaintop or the hot glare of your boss reviewing your presentation. If your wild is everyday life, you need Dockers khakis.
Dockers Signature Khaki, now with staying power technology. Available at Kohl's and Kohl's.com. Dockers, where...
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A mixture of clouds and sun throughout today with north winds 5 to 10. Highs will reach into the middle 30s. And then we'll have increasing clouds throughout tonight with a light south breeze, lows in the upper teens. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro. Right now, it's 27. And it feels
like tonight. Welcome back on the Friday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. As you know, we've been talking girls' state basketball tournament. And don't forget that on Thursday, of course, the boys' state basketball tournament will be rolling in town. And we'll have plenty of coverage for you on our network of stations, including the Sutton boys in Class C2. They are the number one seed, 25-1 on the year. Their one loss, double overtime loss against Freeman. And they've been the dominant force in Class C2, and they are the number one seed. They have the number one state ranking, and kind enough to join us to talk about the Class C1 Boys State Basketball Tournament is Sutton head coach Steve Spongberg. Sponge, how you doing?
Very good. How you been?
I'm doing great. Randy Bushcutter here along with Jim Lang, and so feel free to complain about his ball strike calls if you like.
I will certainly do that, although he does a pretty good job.
Hey, did you know that you guys were going to be this good when the season began, or even before the season began? Did you have an inkling that you were going to be as solid as you guys are?
Well, we lost a lot of seniors from last year's team, which were really quality players, but due to injuries, some of these people had to step up last year and play a little bit more prominent role than what they would maybe normally. So I think in the case that it kind of hurt us somewhat last year gaining experience, it's helped us this year. And then with our football season going really, really well and our kids participating and playing hard and winning some close games, I think is a springboard coming into this season. So to tell you, I thought we'd be 25-1. That probably is not the case, but I thought we had the potential to be at least a decent ball club.
Yeah, Coach, I'll tell you what, your team, you know, after the state football run you had too, you know, you have some good athletes, and they, I was really impressed with the way you guys pass the ball. You run a, when you are against man-to-man, you pass the ball really quick, and I think I'm speaking for a lot of other people that are very impressed with that because it takes a lot of time and effort in practice to do that correct.
Yeah, thank you much, Jim. I know you used to coach a lot, and it is hard. You know, I think our kids have to buy into the system that we're trying to do, and we still want to get up and down the floor, and we want to try to get some quick shots in transition because we're not overly large. Our biggest kids are 6'2", so, but we want to be able to do that. But then when we have to set up and run our offense, we want to be able to move the ball, try to break the other team's defense down and get a quality shot each time. And I think our kids, as the years gone along, have improved upon that but have done a good job. Some of these kids have been playing since elementary age, and we are fortunate to have enough people in our community to work with them and kind of get our system in place. So as they go through, you would hope by the time they're juniors or seniors, they at least have some semblance of what we want to do.
How early do they really kind of run your offense and what you guys like to do? Because when you guys run it, and that looks like Sutton's offense. How early, I don't want to say are they inundated, but at what point did you really say, all right, here's exactly how we want you to run the offense. This is exactly how we want you to play defense.
Well, they probably don't get all of the actions that we run as far as the high school till they get to be a freshman. But we have kids in our elementary program, and again, like I said, we have a number of people in our community that are willing to take these teams, and we sit down with them as coaches and talk to them about what we want them to do. And so it probably starts back in the fourth and fifth grade where they actually run kind of a pattern-type style, but yet a lot of the same principles that we use. And then obviously as they move up through the ranks into the junior high age and then the freshman, sophomore, we get a little bit more, I won't say complicated, but some things that we want to put in, wrinkles and things that we have to do to be able to execute at our varsity level. So it probably does start back in the fourth and fifth grade.
You know, Coach, I basically was coaching at Ravana when you were at Sutton back in like 86, 87 during that time.
Right.
And during that time, you know, I mean, we used to trade a lot of scouting reports back and forth,
right.
You know. But I'll tell you one thing that sticks out with me is that you got the number one seed this year. And, you know, a lot of times you go into that state tournament and you know that first round foe. You're looking at it, and honestly, you're looking at your first round foe going, oh, man, you know, we're in a buzzsaw and just getting to the state tournament. That if I can just keep this thing close. But by being the number one seed, it gives you a chance to look through it and get yourself organized for a big run here. Is that kind of what you're feeling this year?
Well, I think so. You know, we think we have an opportunity, although I would say the Class C2 field is really open. I think if any of the teams down there, and having watched Crofton, I know they have a new coach this year, and they have gotten extremely better as the season's gone on. I think they've developed a system that he's trying to put in place, and so they've play in the northeast part of the state, which is outstanding basketball in Class C2. So our first round opponent won't be easy. We've gone down there before as the one seed and been beaten by the eight seed. So we're not taking anything for granted. But to answer your question, yeah, we've been practicing the last 3 days basically on a lot of different things that we see from all of the teams at state. You know, our goal is to go down there and try to make a run through the tournament, but we also realize that if we don't play well, we're going to be done on Friday. So we have to focus on that, and we certainly will do that here as we start the next week. We've worked on them some, but we have touched base on some of the other teams in the tournament also.
That kind of leads me to what I want to ask. I want to take your first round matchup with Crofton out of it. So you, not Crofton, but the other six teams in Class C2. Kind of give me your analysis of the field and who really kind of strikes you as maybe one of those teams out there that you think might be a pretty tough out in that tournament.
Well, to be honest with you, like I said, I think it's fairly well balanced. Freeman, we've played two times, and they've got outstanding post players. Their guard position with the Verhuizen kid and the Frerichs kid are really good. So they have a great inside-outside game. They play a lot of zone, and they can spread you out with their size. I've watched Southern Valley on film, have not seen him in person, but a 6'9 post kid in our class is really difficult. He looks like he catches the ball well. He finishes around the basket, and he makes them difficult defensively because they deny penetration by people because he can just jam up the basket. Hardington Cedar Catholic, I think, is an outstanding athletic team. At times have played really, really well during the course of the year, and I know at times have not, but they have a point guard that's very, very good, gets them into their offense. He's probably, of the point guards I've watched, as good as one that there is down there, at least in this tournament. And they got a good, solid inside game. St. Pat's has two great inside players. Looking at them on film also, they can take the ball inside and pound it in, and their guard play is solid. Northeast Luther is very athletic. I think they have some kids that can get up and down, and they play a wide-open style of ball. And then Fremont Bergen's been there before, and I watched them at the Heartland Classic there a week ago, and they're solid. So, you know, when I look at it, I would say, you know, taking us out of the equation, I think we have a chance, you know, probably the favorites right now, maybe Hardington, Cedar Catholic, Freeman, and Southern Valley, and we hope that we fit in there somewhere. But again, like I said, anybody that can put three games together, I think, and take care of the ball, not turn it over, play solid defense, and shoot the ball well, I'll have a chance to win.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I think, you know, in 2010, I think in 2011, Ravana, you know, when they had that run, they were by far right. The heavy favorite. But you're exactly right. You're the number one seed, but you're exactly right. You're going to have to win some games, 6, 8 points, 10-point games. They're not going to be, you know, 25-point blowout. You're right.
Exactly. Well, I think, like you said, Jim, last year, Ravana was the favorite. I mean, what they had done in the past, and they came out and had everybody back and had played well all year. And I don't think there's a team like that this year. Like I said, we average about, you know, 50 points a game. So on any given night, we're capable of not scoring that. There's games where we have scored more. So to sit there and say you're the number one seed and you're the clear-cut favorite is certainly not true. We certainly hope that we factor into that. I think our consistency all year has been our defense. And if we can defend people and try to create some offense with our defense, get into transition where we're not having to play a half-court offense all night, we give ourselves a better chance. If we don't do that, there probably isn't a team down there that can't beat us.
Coach, you mentioned defense obviously being a major key. One last question for you. Offensively, what do you guys have to do to maybe, if you have to outscore a team, what do you have to do offensively maybe to get that point level up there where you need it?
Well, we have Austin Rath has had a fabulous year for us. He's a guard that can slash to the basket. He also shoots the ball well from the perimeter. So obviously he has to have a good game. And Cole Wiseman is a good quickness. He was a quarterback on our football team. And he isn't our point guard, but he has to shoot the ball well. Those are our two main threats. But we have to get contributions from some of our other kids. And that's been kind of where we've been this year. Those two guys have been pretty consistent on the offensive end. But our other guys at times do not contribute. And we have to get contributions from our other people. They have to knock down the jump shots when they're available. We got to finish layups. We got to shoot a good percentage from the foul line. So, like I said, we're not a team that's going to go down and slug against some of the better teams and the bigger teams because our biggest kid's 6'2". So we have to get some transition baskets off of our break. We've got to create some offense with our defense. And if we do that and get some balance from our scoring attack, then we can score enough points. But we're not a team. We got to also keep the game into the 40s and 50s. If the game gets into the 60s or 70s, we're going to struggle to win.
Yeah, Coach, you know, the Wiseman kid, I refereed one of your games this year. I was very impressed with him, the way he plays defense. And I think your team defense as well, too. Will Crofton come out and play you man-to-man, or will they play a zone?
Well, they've played a lot of man-to-man all year. A new coach down there, Todd Strom, who used to be up at Pierce, and I kind of knew him from there, and he's been more of a man-to-man coach, and they've played very much, I would say, the majority of the games. We have a number of films on them. They've played the majority man-to-man, a little bit of zone, don't pressure a lot, but are very physical, very aggressive, and have some good-sized kids. They were a team in the football playoffs that Donovan Trumbull beat him, and we kind of thought they might be the favorite on our side. So they're very athletic and very physical, so that'll be that sometimes is a team that gives us a lot of fits.
Yeah, they're not a normal 11-13 team. I agree with you.
No, and, you know, when you play up there in the Northeast and you're playing, you know, the Waynes and the Pierces and, you know, the Wakefields and the Norfolk Catholics, it's very easy to drop a few games. And if you look at their schedule, they lost some games early. I'm sure trying to bring in a new system with a new coach. But here of late, you know, when you go through Creighton, who had an outstanding year, and Hardington Cedar Catholic, who's in the tournament to win your district, you're playing good basketball. So we're certainly not overlooking them. If we don't beat them, it won't be because we're looking to somebody else.
Good point.
Hey, Coach, best of luck to you on Thursday. We appreciate your time, and we'll let you go back to molding the young minds over there at Sutton.
Well, thank you very much, Randy and Jim. It's always good to talk to you.
Hey, Sponge, best of luck to you. Thanks. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.
All right, Steve Sponger, the head boys basketball coach at Sutton. He's got them playing awfully good ball right now. They're 25-1, and a tough matchup. C2 is a pretty balanced field this year. And again, you're playing a team that's 11-13. You look at it on paper, go, wow. But then you see what Crofton had to do to get to state, you know, what they had to do, who they had to get through, and the competition that they play. They're not going to be afraid of Sutton. They're not going to be afraid.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, you know, I'd say this: if Crofton was 16-9, I would be a little more afraid of them. You know, at 11-13, that means they maybe lost a couple games they should not have. You know, they just weren't losing to the Waynes and the people like that. So yeah, good point.
Well, real quick, an email from the Debt Pumper inbox, guys. When I think about the Big East, the first school that pops in my mind is Miami, and they've been gone for how long? What, 3-4 years?
That was a good one, whoever said that.
Yeah. If you're talking football, that certainly would be the case.
You know, there was a guy in the World Herald that writes. He's really funny. I don't know if you've seen this, but he was talking about the, you know, that like Boise State's leaving the Big East, and that's really bad because Hawaii was thinking about leaving. You know, I mean, it was just like, it was really, I don't know exactly how he said it, but yeah, that's right. Anymore, it's not your location. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have a conference in the Big Ten that goes from Nebraska all the way out to the East Coast. And joining us now is Bill Friedman of the Big Ten Network. And The Journey, who's kind enough to join us, as this week's show features a nice little feature on Tim Miles. Bill, Randy Bushcutter, Jim Langan with you here on the Doug and Jaddy Show. Thanks so much for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys. Always good to chat with you.
Did you have much of a chance last year to hang out with Doc Sadler? And if you did, can you kind of compare and contrast Doc and his style versus what you kind of run into here with Tim Miles?
Well, we did hang out with Coach Sadler a little bit last year, and I think it's just they're different people. I think there are some similarities to the way their teams play. You know, they're kind of defense-oriented teams. They're probably not going to score 90 points on you, but they're going to be well coached. They're going to use their talent to the best, you know, to maximize its ability. And personality-wise, you know, I think they're both characters, but in a different way, you know, and I'm sure you guys know that from dealing with both of them. But Coach Miles is, to us, a real breath of fresh air. You know, he's fun to talk to. He embraces social media. He embraces the media. He's very open with us. He's very candid. And, you know, we find him to be quite a compelling television.
Does that, do you think, help him relate to his kids and help with recruiting? I mean, Nebraska hasn't pulled in a lot of these top-notch recruits, but they seem to be on a lot of lists of a lot of players that I don't think Nebraska could have reached a few years ago. How do you see Tim Miles in terms of his ability to recruit?
Yeah, well, I mean, in terms of recruiting, I think Nebraska's in a real, you know, I think things have changed from maybe where they were a couple years ago. I mean, think about what they have going for them now. A, you have a coach that is I can imagine is a pretty good coach in a home visit. Certainly has a track record of success, and I think that's something he can tout. Look at all the places I've been, and look how I've won everywhere I've gone. So if you come here, you're going to win with me. Second, you know, this is their second year in the Big Ten Conference, and I think in terms of basketball, I think that just is maybe a better sell to some recruits than maybe some other conferences. And that's not a knock on the other conferences because they're great teams in the Big 12. They're great teams in the SEC and the Big East. But Big Ten basketball year in and year out has been pretty solid throughout history. We play in front of sold-out crowds. We play in front of big arenas. We're on big television networks. Every game is televised through our partnerships. So that's a good selling point. And three, you look at the facilities that they've now built at Nebraska. You know, that's got to impress a kid when they walk on campus. You know, I've been to most of the facilities in the Big Ten, and I am telling you, that Nebraska facility, I've never been there. I've just seen the footage of it. It blows me away. And, you know, plus a new arena, plus being able to say, look, they get 90,000 fans. They're going to get 90,000 fans once the stadium addition is complete in football. Think about what they can do for basketball. So I think he's got a lot of good selling points, and, you know, hopefully that'll start to reap some benefits on the recruiting trail.
Yeah, you know, one thing you're talking about, too, about Coach Miles and is the fact that most of the time when he's coaching in the Big Ten, he does not have the best players, you know, so he's going to have to play some defense. They're going to have to keep the score low. Huge upset, you know, when Penn State won at home this week, you know, against Michigan. But I'm like you. I think that, you know, he does a good job, and I think when he gets better players, they'll probably pick the tempo up and try to score more points.
Right. I mean, think about it, guys. You know, when a new coach comes in, you almost have to give him 2 to 3 years, you know, because he's got to get some of his players in the system. He's got to change the system. He's got to change the way probably everything, a lot of things were done. And I don't know if that was totally true, but that's just kind of my general assumption of how coaching transitions take place. It's very rare you'll see a coach come in and win a national title in his first year in any sport. It just doesn't happen a lot. And so you got to give him time to get his players. And I know, you know, they were very pleased with this year's recruiting class. I know they have some guys that are sitting out a year that I think are going to be contributors for them next year. And I think, you know, you look at a player like Siobhan Shields, who's been playing really, really well the last maybe 8, 10, 12 games. You know, that's a bright sign for the future.
Talking to Bill Friedman of the Big Ten Network and the journey, and you kind of mentioned Coach Miles being very kind of techno-savvy and all that. It's been a wonderful addition, also that additional technology having the Big Ten Network covering basketball. Has that helped the conference overall in terms of recruiting and national exposure? Because right now people are saying that the Big Ten is probably the best basketball conference in the country. Has the increased media awareness and the Big Ten Network, has that kind of helped with that, or do you guys just... Are you just covering it, or are you part of the story?
Well, that's a great question, and I think it's one that's really hard to quantify, because how does one judge how much television exposure and 24/7 exposure, you know, how can you kind of draw an exact connection? I will say, you know, I remember our first season here for basketball was 2007-2008 season, and I think that year the Big Ten got 4 teams in the tournament, and I think the highest seeded team was 4th. So it was a down year. We had lost a lot of talent. You know, the year before was that great Ohio State team with Greg Oden that had made the final, and there was a huge talent drain in the conference. And I think since then, you know, we've had, let's see, 2009, I think we had 5 teams, and then 10, we had 6, then we had 7, then we had 6, and I think this year we'll have 7. So, you know, I could be wrong on one of those, but I'm doing that off the top of my head here, which isn't so easy. But they, I just think, you know, all you can really look at is kind of, hey, what's happened since we've started and, you know, what's going on. Now, again, the Big Ten has not, you know, we've had a couple teams make the Final Four, but we haven't had a team win a national title since the network started, you know, I think, so you can't really say that. But I think overall, sure, how can it, I don't think it hurts. I'll put it to you that way. I think having every game televised for all 12 programs is a tremendous sell and should help from a recruiting standpoint for all the teams. Are we responsible for the league being the best league in the conference here? No, I think that's the coaches and the players. So,
hey, let's talk a little bit about the NCAA tournament. I mean, I know I'm just going to get your opinion on it. Purdue last year, you know, got beat by Kansas right at the gun, right at the buzzer, yep. You know, and then Kansas went on to, you know, make it to the finals. And then Minnesota had a big win this week. What do you think chances are Minnesota and Purdue getting in the tournament?
Well, I think Minnesota's got a real good chance of getting in the tournament. I don't think Purdue's going to make the tournament this year, but I think they've got a lot of nice building blocks for next year. You know, they had four or five freshmen this year. I think they're redshirting one of them, but they the Hammonds kid is going to be a big time player, and I'm pretty high on Ronnie Johnson and Raphael Davis. But as far as Minnesota, you know, I think there is a team that is a very interesting story looking at the tournament. You know, in the non-conference, they lost one game to Duke at a neutral site. They beat a team like Memphis. They beat Florida State on the road, who's a solid program. And they were really scoring the ball. I think they averaged over 75 points a game in the non-conference season. You know, in the league, they've been more around 60. And so it's one of those things that, like, maybe if they can just get in the tournament, it'll almost be like the pressure's off and a breath of fresh air and the style's going to change and it might be a little bit more up-tempo, depending, of course, on matchups. But typically, I think the other conferences are a little looser in the style of play than maybe you get in the Big Ten. And, you know, they're the kind of team that could knock off a team like Kansas, like Purdue. Purdue should have won that game last year.
Yes,
you know,
they definitely should have.
They really outplayed them, and Matt Painter coached a great game. Beautiful strategy all game long, and they just kind of ran out of gas down the stretch. But that was a game they were the better team for 35 minutes of that game.
Yeah, or 39. You know, that last minute, yeah. They had a couple busted plays that the ball just bounced off somebody's knee and happened to hit somebody at the right spot, and they're winning for a layup there at the end. You know, so you're exactly right. Minnesota, I hope they get in the tournament, but I think, you know, they might have to win a couple more games to just make sure they're in.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at their schedule, you know, they have Penn State at home this weekend, and then I think they travel to Nebraska and to Purdue. So, yeah, I mean, they have seven conference wins right now. I'm pretty sure a team with their resume, with some of the wins they have, when you look at they've beaten Illinois on the road, they've beaten Michigan State, who's going to be a, you know, a top 10 team at the end of the year most likely. They've beaten an Indiana, who's going to probably be a top 5 team. Plus, you know, the wins over Memphis, they beat Stanford at Florida State, they won at USC, so they've, you know, they beat South Dakota State, who's, you know, a pretty good mid-major team here in the Midwest, as you guys know. I think that's the team with, what's his name, Walters is the kid. He can really play.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, and they also beat Wisconsin, who's going to be a top 15 team.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Wisconsin.
You know, so they've got a lot of quality wins. The thing is, they got seven conference wins, and if they end with seven conference wins, I think that's going to be a problem. I think if they get to eight, they're and they win their first game at the Big Ten tournament, they're looking pretty good. And I think if they get to nine, it won't matter what they do at the Big Ten tournament they're in. If they win two of those last three, I think they're going to be pretty good.
You mentioned you think seven teams are going to get in. Clearly, Minnesota probably would be the seventh team. Also, at 7 and 8 is Iowa and Illinois. Iowa at 18 and 10 overall, probably not. But what about Illinois? What does Illinois have to do to get into the tournament and make it eight teams from the Big Ten?
Yeah, same thing. I think Illinois has an even better case to be made than Minnesota with eight conference wins because of the quality of their wins both in and out of the league. I mean, you're talking about a team that beat Gonzaga at Gonzaga, and that's probably going to be a top four seed in the tournament. They won against USC at a neutral site. They beat Butler at a neutral site, who's going to be a tournament team. And then you look at their wins in league. I mean, obviously beating Indiana is the jewel of their resume, but they also beat Ohio State, who's a solid tournament team. They also beat Minnesota, who we think is a tournament team. So, you know, again, they have Nebraska at home, as you guys know, this Saturday, tomorrow. And then they're at Iowa, at Ohio State. I think they, you know, if I'm Illinois, I look at tomorrow as a must win. I think they have to win that game. And then, you know, Iowa's probably a toss-up. You know, Iowa's hurting their point guard, Gasell, looks like he's a little nicked up right now. He didn't play the other night, so it'll be interesting to see his health. And then at Ohio State. So, I mean, Illinois's got a couple more chances to get good wins. And, again, if they get to eight and they win their first game in the tournament here in Chicago, I think they're pretty safe. If they were to win two games in the tournament, I don't think there'd be any question.
Yeah, it looks to me like, you know, Illinois and Minnesota will get in unless there's so many upsets in those other tournaments, you know, and then they're not going to take those, you know, at large bids, you know.
Or if they lost their final three games. You know, which could happen. I mean, look, Penn State showed the other night, like, there's no 1-12. This league has, you got to play. You got to play to win in this league. You know, you can't just show up.
Yeah, Nebraska's going to be tough at home. When anybody that comes into Lincoln, and, you know, especially with the Bob Devaney Sports Center and the story behind that. So, you know, that's going to be a tough win.
Last question.
Absolutely.
Last question, Bill. 16 teams, obviously, in the Sweet 16. How many of those are going to be from the Big Ten Conference?
Ooh, well, you know, call me on Monday the 11th when I can see who everybody's
see
playing.
You know,
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, you know, on talent alone, you know, I'd say, you know, I think that the league has, you know, anywhere from, I think any of those seven teams, to be honest, could make it to the Sweet 16. If you think about it, I'm pretty sure that all seven of those teams at one point in this year were ranked in the top 15. So by that stat alone, there's, you know, there's the chance. But I just think it depends on matchups, you know, like you take a team like Wisconsin, you know, if they get matched up against the right opponent, it could be very favorable for them. But there are also some teams and some styles that really give them problems. And that's, you know, until you see the bracket and at least can be able to kind of forecast who they might play, it's harder. But, you know, good stuff. I hope you guys tune in this Saturday night to watch the stuff we did on Coach Miles on the journey. It's a really neat stuff. We spent a lot of time with Coach and his family, both his wife and children, and also with his parents who've been staying with Tim since January when his father had some surgery. So we were in the Miles household, and so if you've ever wanted to know what that's like, definitely check us out 8:30 Central on Saturday night.
Oh, Bill, appreciate the time. You guys do such a nice job. That is an easy watch. I really enjoy that show. I don't think I've missed an episode yet, and you guys do a nice job. Congratulations on the show.
Thanks. great. And don't forget, we'll be coming back with football next year, too. And I know that's religion in your part. So I hope that,
amen, brother. Amen.
That the Cornhuskers fans really take to our show come the fall. We're blessed this year to do some neat stuff with Kenny Bell. And hopefully we'll get to do some more stuff with Kenny and the Cornhuskers next year.
Hey, we'd like to have you back here after the tournament's, you know, the brackets are out, and maybe get a couple selections from you, all right?
Okay, you put me on the spot, but my guess is I'll probably pick the Big Ten team.
Sounds good.
Hey, Bill.
All right, guys.
Appreciate
you have
time.
A good day.
You too. Thank you. That's Bill Friedman from The Journey on the Big Ten Network, and I wasn't just blowing sunshine up his skirt. That's a good show. They do a nice job with that, and it is very, very easy to watch it. I'm looking forward to seeing the story on Tim Miles on Saturday night. And another thing that you can look forward to, you might as well eat. You might as well just feast. While you're enjoying all the basketball, March Madness is here, folks, and it's time for Troutman's to get your favorite food to enjoy the game. Kerry has a bunch of garlic sausage, supreme pizza brats, either fried or grilled. Sounds like a supreme pizza loaded with mozzarella. They have that. They also have their Troutman's USA Choice Beef, certified Angus beef, quality steaks, aged a minimum of 30 days for peak flavor and tenderness, supreme pizza brats. At Troutman's, there's always a large selection of fresh and smoked sausage. Have you ever tried their fresh frozen seafood? Available at Troutman's as well. You know, it's Meatless Friday for us Catholics, so you got that frozen seafood available at Troutman's. And don't forget their certified Angus beef, custom-cut meat selections at Troutman's. The service is friendly and personal. There's always someone at the counter to help you with your purchase, unlike grocery store meat departments. And again, don't forget their seafood that's available at Troutman's. And just check out the Big Angus right there in front. As you can just spin around a circle, point at something, buy it, and you'll be happy with your purchase when you go to Troutman's. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. We'll do that right after this.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. I want to tell you about some exciting menu changes starting this month. From gourmet burgers and 8 flavors of real New York-style buffalo wings to prime Nebraska beef and barbecue brisket smoked in-house. I also want to remind you, we have the perfect spot for private dining. So whether it's Tommy's birthday party, Sally's going away party, your company Christmas party, or you just want to bring the gang from work down for a drink.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Introducing a faster way to push to talk. AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk. AT&T delivers more of what your business needs. Instant communication, up to 1,000 contacts, plus a broad array of devices and platforms. Visit your local AT&T store or call 1-877-981-3359 to get your business started today. You pushed it talk, we pushed it further. AT&T, rethink possible.
New activations only requires 2-year commitment to eligible voice and data plans plus activation of AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk service.
Wow, we have so much we have to do around the house.
Awesome.
A reason to go to the Tool Mega Sale at Sears this week.
Fix the car.
Up to 50% off all Craftsman Mechanics tool sets. Check.
And the garage is a mess.
Up to 50% off Craftsman tool storage. Booyah!
And the faucet is... Honey, are you okay?
I'm just so excited.
Tackle your to-do list at the Tool Mega Sale this week only at Sears. Hundreds of Craftsman tools on sale in one place. Craftsman. Trust in your hands. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
A mixture of clouds and sun throughout today with north winds 5 to 10. Highs will reach into the middle 30s. And then we'll have increasing clouds throughout tonight with a light south breeze, lows in the upper teens. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatrow. Right now, it's 27.
Pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care. It's 5 o'clock. Somewhere.
Kind of a Friday thought there as well. And it's also, hey, it's a little bit afternoon. That means it's time to eat. What a great place to go. Big Dally's Deli. They have locations in Kearney and Hastings, 3905 North 2nd Avenue in Kearney, right there on 39th Street on 2nd Avenue. Also on 2nd Street in Hastings, 801 West 2nd Street in Hastings. Also at 610 East South in Hastings as well. They have a bazillion sandwiches. sandwiches, and you can just pick a number. I'll pick a number between 1 and 50, Jim. Give me a number between 1 and 50. We'll look at the menu, and we'll tell you what you should have for lunch.
27.
27 it is, the old traditional bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich.
Perfect. That's what I want.
It's a great recipe that goes back from time immemorial, and they'll put a special spin on it at Big Dally's Deli.
Could they cut up that in half for me, do you think, or even quarters? Because I'd really make a mess of that. I could see eating that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Right, or you deal. Can just take a good enough bite and you cut it in half with your mouth. It works out pretty well there too.
I'm gonna hope that you didn't mean anything intended by that. It was just a
exactly. I can see how that might come across that way, but I didn't really mean it to be
good deal.
That way. And Big Dally's Deli, home of a bazillion sandwiches, and they'll get you all set up there at Big Dally's Deli. So great place to eat seafood as well if you're needing to avoid that sort of thing. So that's us Catholics. We got to kind of deal with that stuff.
Hey, now, St. Cecilia, they're going to be playing Crofton. Is that right?
Yes. St. Cecilia will be taking on Crofton. Crofton struggled in the first quarter, but then after that, they just blew out Homer. They opened up the lead in the second quarter, and they went at 54-36. So it will be St. Cecilia taking on Crofton, top two seeds in Class C2, playing for the state championship tomorrow at the Sports Center, 9 a.m. We'll have that game for you on the Breeze 94.5, and all six state championship games will be right here on the ESPN Superstation in Central Nebraska. So we will simulcast it on both the Breeze and on ESPN 1460 and 1550. We'll have all six state championship games for you tomorrow. Don't forget, we have one more game that we'll have on our network of stations on Classic Hits 98.9 FM this afternoon at 2 is the tip between Kearney Catholic taking on Wahoo. Pre-game will start around 1:45 on Classic Hits 98.9 FM. And in Class A, I don't think it's a final yet, but we have the late third quarter, start of the fourth quarter, is Bellevue West right now leading Omaha Central 40-38. The winner of that game will take on Lincoln Southeast for the state title tomorrow in Class A at the Devaney Center.
You know, Bellevue West, the number one seed, wins 53-51 the first round over the eighth seed. And they haven't been quite as impressive as Southeast have they?
No.
Lincoln Southeast been way more impressive. You know, you look at all the scores from yesterday, Kearney Catholic with that 39, that was the lowest score with a winner. You know, and, you know, the highest score yesterday was, I think, was that GACC, you know, out of in D1. Did they have 83 points yesterday? Is that right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, most of those scores are about 50-48, right in there. Yeah.
Guardian Angels, they opened it up yesterday. And we just did get a final. It is Bellevue West. 33 seconds left. Bellevue West leading by a bucket over Omaha Central, 52-50, with 33 seconds to go on that one. So who knows? That could be heading to overtime, three-pointer. It can go the other way. And so a good one brewing in Class A. And the winner will take on Lincoln Southeast, and that will not be an easy task. I said it before. I think Southeast is the best team in Class A this year.
Yeah, yesterday Omaha Central just won 61-60, I think. So both those teams are used to close games. Yeah.
Good Class A matchups this year. The first round, Millard West didn't have much of a problem with Northeast, but other than that, it's been pretty tight throughout the course of the girls' state basketball tournament. And don't forget, six state championship games for you tomorrow right here on ESPN. And we already have one state championship that we'll have on our FM. We'll have on the Breeze 94.5, St. Cecilia taking on Crofton for that early morning game at 9 a.m. from the Sports Center. We'll have that game for you on the Breeze 94.5, and hopefully Kearney Catholic can win today against Wahoo, and we'll have their game on the FM tomorrow afternoon as well. In any event, if Kearney Catholic were to fall, then we would probably have their consolation game for you at 10 o'clock on somewhere. We'll have to figure out where that would be.
Got it. Will Doug Duda be doing both those games there?
I'm sure he'll follow Kearney Catholic.
Sure.
I'm sure wherever they're at, state championship or consolation games in there, I might end up doing the championship game if Kearney Catholic's in the consolation. So, you know, it's all to be decided. All to be decided. Do you got anything going on tonight?
Nothing going on tonight. I'll just probably work out. At 1 o'clock, I'm working the YRTC championship game here in Kearney, the YRTC championship game at 1 o'clock. So I got about an hour to get there. It looks like
you got a couple of kids usually really pretty good athletes out there.
Yes, you do, and they make it a big deal. Yeah,
yeah, it's it's a big deal for those kids. A lot of fun. The champions of the hill up there. That'll be that could be a lot of fun to watch. Well, I want to say thanks to all of our guests for joining us today. Bill Friedman, and he joined us from The Journey on the Big Ten Network, and Steve Spongberg, the head boys basketball coach over at Sutton, as we start our previews of a lot of teams that will be following next week for you from the Boys State Basketball Tournament. Again, don't forget, we have championship basketball for you tomorrow right here on ESPN all day. Of course, the championship game in Class C2 on the Breeze 94.5, and semifinal girls basketball tonight at 2 o'clock this afternoon on our sister station, Classic. It's 98.9 FM. Jim, thanks for joining us.
Hey, yeah, thank you.
All right, it was a pretty good time. Everybody have a good weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday at 11 right here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.